ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
Hello, church people, and welcome to another episode of Along the Road Encounter. My name is Manuel Silva Esterich, and with me is my co-host, Valerie Izumi. And today, we're going to talk about commissioner trainings by mid-council leaders.
Today, our guests are Forrest Clausen, the executive of the Synod of the Trinity, Fran Lynn Lawrence, executive presbyter and stated clerk of Lake Michigan Presbytery, and also stated clerk of the Synod of the Covenant, and Eliana Maxim, co-executive presbyter of Seattle Presbytery. Welcome, Forrest, Fran, and Eliana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. I introduced you using your titles in your current work context, but would you be willing to say a little bit more of who you are outside what you do for the Presbyterian Church at this time and place? Why don't we start with Forrest?
Sure. So I am the husband of 33 years to my wife, Karen, who is a pastor in Western Pittsburgh Presbytery. So I get to call myself the first gentleman of Unity Presbyterian Church of Greentree.
Very nice.
I am the father of a young woman who lives in Portland with her husband and two adopted grandsons, my grandsons, not hers, her sons. The one is a three-year-old boy who is full of energy and life, and the other one just came into the world about a week ago.
Oh my goodness, congratulations.
And so they have gotten clearance to take him home, and are now waiting for the judge to declare that they are the legal parents. But in the meantime, they have custodianship. Oh, but that has become a joy in my life that I never imagined how much I would love.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's great.
Probably the other thing that might be interesting that's different from a lot of folks in my work is that I spent the first 10 years of pastoral ministry in a small Native Alaskan congregation in Southeast Alaska. If y'all know where Ketchikan is, it was about an hour by float plane straight west from there, out on an island that was close to the Pacific Ocean. And that changed my understanding of small congregations, of mission ministry, and of Native American ministry significantly in the course of the time I was there.
How about you, Fran?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me today. So I am outside of church. I am a wife, a mom, a grandma, and they call me Mimi, not grandma, and a sister. So I have five children all over the place. Two are still in Louisville. And I have four grandchildren, soon to be five. And yeah, so that keeps me busy outside of the church.
I bet.
So Forrest and Fran have new grandbabies.
That's right. How about you, Eliana?
I have no new grandbabies, but it's good to be with all of you today. I also am a wife and a mom of two daughters, both happily married and living very close by to me. And I'm also Yaya, grandma, to a four-year-old little girl named Mimi and a two-year-old grandson. And also am very blessed to have my parents not just living close by anymore. We actually had them move in with us. So in typical Latino fashion, our tribe stays very close together geographically, and we're very blessed to be able to do so.
That's great. Definitely blessed. I miss mine.
I'll bet.
So it will be good to begin with a simple question to establish the mid-council role in all of this. What is a commissioner? And what would you say is the difference between that term and delegate or representative?
Okay, gotcha. So commissioner, I think of even just kind of going back to the root of the word, is somebody who has been commissioned or sent by their electing body to be present on behalf of that electing body at the wider assembly. The place that I would make a distinction, especially with the word delegate or representative, is that we believe as Presbyterians that commissioners are to go and seek corporately the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the decisions that the assembly makes, rather than going and fundamentally representing a constituency from back home. So we're not like the U.S. House of Representatives or something like that, in the sense that we answer to the people. We're actually the church gathered in that place, and the commissioners ultimately answer to the promptings of the Holy Spirit.
So I agree with Forrest, and it connects to other things. As mid-council leaders, this is an opportunity for us to do some faith formation too, and have people start to see their connection with the church in the context of their connection with the Holy Spirit, and start to trust in themselves as leaders sometimes for the first time. So it's going to be all about the business, and that part is really important. But really that formation piece of, we are coming together as the body of Christ, working together to find God's will for us all, and then bringing that back and sharing it in their individual contexts. And really that's kind of the circle and the loop of connecting us Amen. All together.
Yes.
I think Forrest and Fran have really, spoken so well about this. The only other thing that I would add that I like to lift up is that this is an opportunity for our leaders in our respective presbyteries mm-hmm. to live into their ordination vows as teaching and ruling yes. elders, and to understand the weight that faithful discipleship has and servanthood. And it takes preparation, it takes discipline, it takes all sorts of things, prayerful discernment, being in community. But what a lovely way to really enflesh what it means to live into our vows.
So we know that commissioners are commissioned and begin their service at that time for a particular general assembly, but their term continues until a new class of commissioners are commissioned for the following assembly. So what would you say is the role of the commissioner through their entire 2-year period of service? And what role do you as mid-council leaders play in their preparation, their encouragement?
So honestly, I'll say something. I can't say anything that's not honestly. So I don't think we do a very good job about that. I think folks, once the assembly is over, and they breathe this big sigh of relief and go back home, they forget. And I don't think that we as a denomination do a very good job of reminding folks that they are still commissioners. And I don't know if that's a product of going to assemblies every other year, or if this was a factor in the past. But I'm certain that there is a way for us to be able to engage folks in the ongoing work. I think where we do see this is when we form special committees, commissions, where they have to continue to be engaged in the work that the assembly has laid out for them. But I think we've made it a little bit too easy for us to walk away from the responsibility of being a commissioner for 2 years.
One of the things that we've done in Lake Michigan is to look at the resources that God gives us. And there is an investment. There's a lot of investment in the life of the church when we send commissioners So we've been trying to use them. And so we have them come back and do their initial reports. But one of the things that we're doing, and we still have a long way to go, but we've tried to use them with the information they bring back. And that might be from their particular committees or something that they're really interested in that they invested themselves in when they were there. And then we try to use them in resourcing the presbytery in conversation. In our work, we're Matthew 25 Presbytery. And so our work around justice and in working with congregations to brainstorm where they might want to go. So again, it's the connection, but also as that resource over those next 2 years. So maybe that thread isn't lost. And that's probably new in the last 5 years. How can we use this gift that we're getting?
Thank you. Thank you for that. So, Forrest, I know that you're heading off to do a Synod Commissioner training. Is it a Synod Commissioner training or is it a Synod training of GA commissioners?
It's a Synod training of Presbytery commissioners to the General Assembly.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. So can you share a little bit about what the format will be? What is it that you're interested in helping those commissioners that we are grateful have said yes to God's calling for them to serve in this way? Help us understand what that training will look like.
So it begins with recognizing that the General Assembly experience is not like anything else that just about anybody else has been a part of in the life of the church, unless they've been at another General Assembly. And so what we're trying to do then is give them a sense of what they can expect when they get there, both in terms of how the decision-making process works, but also in terms of how the emotional life of the assembly works, so that they're not overwhelmed either logistically or spiritually by the experience, but rather they're sort of ready to go in and say, okay, I understand what I'm getting into here. I see what this is going to be like. I even have some thoughts about a few of the overtures and what I want to do with them, because I've taken a look at them ahead of time and made up some of my own mind, even though I'm ready to listen to what other folks have to say.
Excellent. You talk about the mindset or the emotions.
Yeah, I picked up on that as well.
Could you talk a little bit more on what your focus on them understanding through that?
Well, so yeah, I guess I'd say there are a couple of things. One is the pace of the assembly is more aggressive than, except for maybe some lawyers and doctors in the world. The days are at least 14 hours long, typically. And then there's conversation, and then you try to kind of get in some sleep around the side. And so by the time a couple of weeks of that is over, people can be really quite run bare. Mm-hmm. And the challenge then becomes to figure out ahead of time, okay, where do I get the rest that I need along the way so that I'm not ragged by the end of it? The other thing, especially when the assembly plenary meets in person, is the dynamic that we have to be done with our work by the time the convention center says we're leaving. And that often makes for a very long last night, which means that, you know, just like running a race, it's pretty important to keep some gas in the tank for the last quarter of the lap. So that's part of it.
And bringing snacks.
Right. And mid-council leaders are terrific in that kind of role. That's not something so much that a synod leader will do, but presbytery leaders that I've experienced over the years have been excellent stewards of their commissioners' energy in the form of snacks, in the form of running errands, getting coffee, whatever the need might provide. Yeah. I think the other thing that I would say about emotional management is recognizing upon coming in that there are absolutely going to be decisions the assembly makes that I am not going to like. But that at the same time, there are going to be other decisions that the assembly makes that somebody else is not going to like. And the reality is that we will all leave a little bit disappointed, but hopefully we'll be able to leave recognizing that the work of God through the assembly was done on the whole, and that the ways in which I really feel like the work of God was not done, God will sort that one out in God's good time. And so maintaining a sense of God's sovereignty over the work is also helpful in terms of being able to go home. And maybe the word there is not so much exhaustion as the word is exasperation. To be able to go home and leave the exasperation behind for the sake of understanding that this is a work of the Spirit that is bigger than any of us, even together.
So thank you for that. So I wonder, how could we, those of us in the Office of the General Assembly and mid-council leaders together, encourage commissioners and advisory delegates as they're coming to General Assembly this year, either in committee online or in plenary in person? How can we prepare them to have their eyes and ears open in a different way, so they're not just thinking about the moment that they're in, but projecting ahead for another 2 years? Do you have any good advice on that? We can't tell them they're going to get a test in 2 years.
So
right. So one of the things that we do in orientation and some of the training, we have several times where they gather, trying to build community with each other. And I think the Synod is trying to do the same thing. The Synod of the Covenant, trying to build some relationship between the commissioners within the Synod, and to start focusing in, telling them to form some questions that they want answers to bring back. I do wonder if there's a way that the Office of the General Assembly could encourage them to continue in relationship with the folks that they might be in a committee with, or one of the issues that is passionate. We don't always get assigned to the place where we think God wants us. It might be somewhere else, but we have passions as we come there. And if they've gathered around, is there a way that those folks can be connected for ongoing resourcing of the church and for themselves and what God's calling them?
That's true.
That might be helpful.
I remember being a YAD and still have some relationships with one or two. I mean, I met Edwin, being both YADs, and he's now the godfather of my child. Commissioners, especially teaching elders and ruling elders, having that collaboration and camaraderie, you would say, in the committees could propel those 2 years after the assembly to still have conversations between them.
I'm also aware that contextually it's going to be different around the country. And that, you know, every presbytery has its own DNA and what that looks like. And for me, it harkens back to how authentic are we building relationships amongst ourselves as a presbytery. Mm-hmm. And that really does lend itself to being able to be capitalized on by the national church. And I've just found that when our presbytery has been very intentional about nurturing the relationship among the commissioners and advisory delegates that we are sending, it really does create a more cohesive body in which to engage with the larger church later on. So I think it really in some ways starts with us at the more local level, and how well do we know our commissioners and delegates? How well are we nurturing that relationship so that they don't see it as a duty they need to check off? And then once they're done, it's off their to-do list. But it really is an engagement of part of their call, and that it does last longer than just those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the idea of people still engaging in even a micro community of their committees or the assembly at large. So, Forrest, keeping all of that in mind, back, what, before 2020, when the assembly was held in person, both committee and plenary, commissioners would go from one space within a convention center to the plenary hall and continue their work. Because committees are online for this assembly, commissioners will leave their homes, get on a plane, in a car, in a train, and travel to Salt Lake City, and then do plenary in person. How might you, as a mid-council leader, and then how do we, when we receive the commissioners and advisory delegates in Salt Lake City, help to manage that shift?
That's a great question. I think the first thing is what happens when they walk in the door. That an important piece of it for them will be to see familiar faces who they already experience as folks that are there in support of them. Whether those familiar faces are ones that have shown up in Zoom land or ones that have shown up in a ballroom at a hotel where a training event has happened, the kind of folks that they say, oh, okay, here's somebody who's on my side. Here's somebody who knows the ropes better than I do, but is committed to helping me do my work well more than using me to get what they want done. And if we can provide that kind of friendly and safe face, then that goes a long way, I think, toward making that transition from working within your own computer lab at home to working in a convention hall with 500 other people.
Yeah, I agree.
So interestingly, you lift up the topic of special committees, and we wondered how either you are as mid-council leaders, or how might presbyteries prepare commissioners to understand and process the report of special committees and commissions, who, after all, have been studying, generally speaking, for 2 to 4 and sometimes 6 years before the report that they're presenting to the assembly is published. And so that's a lot of work, and I wonder, how do you help? What's the help commissioners can get to even understand what it is they're reading, and any presentation that comes with that? Any thoughts on that?
I think part of the onus on being able to serve our commissioners well in that manner requires for us as mid-council leaders to become just as informed. It's really hard to encourage others to stay current and up to date on what the church is wrestling with if the mid-council leaders are not. So one of the things that, you know, we have really committed ourselves to is that we need to be just as invested in the work and the business and the life of the church, the national church, if we're going to ask others to step into that space. It also helps for training matters. It helps for discussions on different topics. But I think it really starts with us.
Well, and I have to say, Fran and Eliana are currently serving. Eliana on the committee on the Office of the General Assembly as its moderator. And then Fran is serving right now on the Special Committee on the Presbyterian Church USA and Race. And Forrest has just completed at the last assembly service on the Advisory Committee on the Constitution. So thank you for saying yes to service.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start by putting in a plug for you. One of the things that assemblies almost always do is create special committees or temporary task forces or things like that. And then those have to get populated. And if the viewers didn't know, Valerie is the OGA staff person for the committee that has to populate all of those task forces and special committees. So if one is a commissioner who has seen a special committee or task force be formed by their assembly, and they feel like this is a good thing, I believe in the fact that this new group is at work, by all means, put your name in, because
yes.
because Valerie and then the moderators who do the appointments to those committees are always looking for folks who are not only able, but also available. So that would be thing one.
Thank you.
Sure. You can pay me later.
Okay.
thing two is more of a back home kind of event. I have seen, and I think it's a very interesting model, where the commissioners are the ones who interpret back to their presbyteries what they saw happen at the assembly, not only regarding the general overview of the meeting itself, but of particular overtures. And so those become the people who advise the presbyteries when the presbyteries are voting on changes to the Book of Order. Here's why I think it was a good idea. Here's why I think it was not a good idea. Here's ultimately I voted the way I did, and you all presbytery members might consider the following issues when you're voting on whether this proposed amendment to the Book of Order would be passed or not. Those commissioners are some of the most directly literate people regarding the changes that have come out of their assembly, because they aren't seeing things secondhand. They were right there in the conversation when it happened. I think that more broadly then, a place where that becomes valuable is to be a moderating influence on the reactivity that sometimes can happen back home. You know, when I open up the paper and I see Presbyterian Church votes to X, right? Well, you know, dramatic, radical headlines sell newspapers, but they don't necessarily create peace within the church. And commissioners have the authority, from having been in the room where the conversation happened, to be able to say, well, yeah, there was that. But let me tell you more about how that came to pass. Let me tell you more about what also was said. Let's not go running off with our pitchforks and our torches just because of what the newspaper said in this moment, because the newspaper is interested in a certain kind of outcome, and we as the church may or may not be in agreement with that kind of outcome.
So when we get into the training the mid-council is going to give the commissioners, what are you looking for? What is in your agenda that you want to start talking about or training them on understanding the documents or you know, we're going to Utah, so they need to know some health things like drinking a lot of water. So what do you do in your mid-council training? So Fran, I understand you already had your training, your first training. Mm-hmm. So what can you say about that?
So for me, my very first General Assembly was at a TSAD, and some of my most profound moments of encountering the Holy Spirit has been at General Assembly. So if I can do, as a mid-council leader, if I can help people have less anxiety about the process and give them education, then they are open more to those spiritual pieces. So I'm very honest saying, when they say it might be cold, it will be. You might have your sheet from your room around you. So, you know, some of those basic things, you know, I Google and it's like, here's some really cool restaurants. But also talk about the pace and the computer. You know, things are different now. It's all going to be in the computer. If you're going to do updates, update your computer before you go. Take it to the computer store.
So all of some of those concrete pieces, and then actually pulling up, looking at PC Biz, showing them where things that went before, they could find those, things after, things they can start doing now. I like to do the training January or February so that we can follow up. They can go in PC Biz. They can pull it up. They can play with it. If something's not going right, if they can't find things, if they don't understand, you can read standing rules. All of the things. Here's the book of order and how you. This is how you can use it. Just some of those basic kind of things that will relieve some anxiety. I usually tell them also not to be that person. Sometimes there are people that are at the microphone a lot and they're not adding. If God calls you to speak, then by all means speak, but don't be the person that people say, ugh, when they get up and go. That's a kind of critical piece.
Thank you, Fran.
All the things that Fran said, that I would add two other items. One of them, and we'll be doing ours upcoming, and we're actually doing it synod-wise. So we're getting everybody together online. The two things that I would add is, one of them is related to equity primes. We do use them in our presbytery, and want to make sure we lift that up so people understand what is being talked about when they hear it. The second thing is, I think it's important to contextualize the business coming before the assembly. A lot of times people get elected to be a commissioner and get dropped in and they haven't been following along. Some of us are, you know, denominational nerds. And so we have been following along for years. Others don't. And so it's important to know, you know, where did this special committee come out from? Why is it? Why do we have this commission? How will this affect, how might this affect mid-councils or local congregations? And not necessarily to guide how they're going to vote or think of things, but for them to be able to have enough information so that they can ask questions and start making some connections on their own once they're there.
Yes, I wonder, is part of their education reading what the assembly has previously said for the last two assemblies or something to see how business has been changed from how it was submitted to how it was approved? I mean, that might help as well, right?
I think
anyway,
that's really
for
important.
Someone who thinks like me, that would help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. And that's one of the things, you know, that we build up a momentum with assemblies. And we get excited about something and we enact it, and then we have to pick it up again 2 years later. And somewhere in between, right, there, we lose the momentum.
Yeah.
That's understandable. What we don't want to lose is the awareness or insights that we garnered from the last assembly. So if we can gather that and carry it with us, it's a lot easier for people to jump into their respective committees.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and where to even start? When you're so focus on your committee. If there was like business at a previous GA, to look at those documents. But then maybe a list of some of the amendments that are coming that are hot button issues, so that they might want to listen to what people are saying about it.
Maybe not on Facebook.
Right. Well, oh, no, right.
Not on Facebook. No,
yeah,
no.
Exactly.
But if they're reading this and if they're talking with people they trust, and we can point them to resources, they're not listening to some of the things on Facebook that are misleading or even inflammatory. So they're not going to walk in filled with anxiety.
When they come into a training and they're elected as commissioners, what are they expecting from mid-councils before GA and during their GA experience?
So my sense is that commissioners want to feel equipped to do this work. A lot of times they're insecure. And I think it resides not that they're not going to do a good job. They just don't want to say or do something dumb. And so just to be able to resource them, to understand parliamentary procedure, just some of the logistics of the assembly so that they don't look like they don't know what they're doing. So I think one of the expectations is for us to equip them to do that. When it comes to the actual presence, whether it's online or in person for the assembly portion of it, I think at that point, it's a matter of support. Will you support me in prayer? Will you support me if I need caffeine desperately? Or if I have a sudden emergency and for whatever reason, are you going to be my person that I can go to? So I think it's resourcing on the front end. And then in the midst of it, of the assembly, it's the support.
Yeah, just what you said. I am so serious about the work I do during General Assembly. You know, it's nice to go and see all your friends and all the things, but I am so serious about the work that I do. It's intense. If they have a question, do I have that answer? Or who is it that I can refer them to who can answer their question? They're texting you, how do I vote? How do I faithfully tell them what they need to know without saying you should vote like this? That's not the way it works. So to take care of their needs, their emotions sometimes, their spiritual health, all those things that you were saying, Ileana, I mean, we are that point of resource on the ground as they are there doing the work for us. It's intense if you're doing it right.
Yeah. Forrest also brought up emotions, and I can't even imagine what it must feel like for a first-time commissioner to come into the plenary hall and see this large mass of people who are there to make decisions, to discern together what the Spirit is saying to the church. I can't even begin to imagine how overwhelming that might feel to some first-time commissioners, especially ones who haven't often been a commissioner to presbyteries, you know, for instance. How do you, you know, in committee, they'll be online, as you mentioned, and you kind of feel safe because you're in your own home or your own office, and you know that space, and you're getting to know the other people. But now you're going to get on a plane, and you're going to fly to Salt Lake City and be in this huge mass of people, most of whom you don't know. How do you help prepare your commissioners and advisory delegates for that emotional event? Yes.
I think one of the ways is to not to minimize it. We church people tend to want to sugarcoat things when we ask people to do something. Mm. Like, we'd like you to, you know, serve in this. It's not going to be a big deal. It's not a commitment. So you know, it'll be easy. I think it's much smarter to err on the side of being realistic and honest and say, no, this is a weighty responsibility, and you are going to be uncomfortable sometimes, and it's going to be very stressful, and you're going to be required to read a lot of material. But it's probably one of the most gratifying spiritual practices you will ever experience. But to be upfront and say what the expectations are, and honestly, we're dealing with adults, and I'm sure that they've all experienced far more challenging situations in their lives than having to serve as a commissioner at General Assembly. So as long as we're realistic and upfront with them about the demands, I think people rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. Amen for that, Fran. Yes.
Well, and reminding them of the things they already know. When you're in committee, and when you're in person, there are going to be people saying things that you don't even know how they're saying some of the things they're saying, and to always assume the best intentions from folks, and to assume that they're speaking out of their faith. And we're not all at the same place in our faiths. And to say, and some people are mean. And we love those people too. But Ileana is exactly right. Not to minimize those things. And if you can build community between your commissioners, then they can rely on each other, because they're all feeling their feelings together, even if they're in the committee. And so they can debrief and process together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember being overwhelmed by worshiping with mm-hmm. all those people, and it was a yad. And then when working on the platform, I remember being overwhelmed, looking at everybody, worship also. That is an amazing feeling. Have you had any amazing things happen that you remember and treasure in your heart during assembly?
The worship is awesome.
Yeah.
All of those people worshiping God together at the same time and being in that crowd. And you can sing really loud, and that beautiful sound you pretend is coming out of your mouth if it's not real. I think one of my most profound moments was when Syngman Rhee was the moderator, and they had just taken a very tough vote. And it was around issues of LGBTQ plus, and people were want to clap or cry. And he paused and brought us back to the presence of God and praying for and with folks. And it was tough. And from my perspective, it was awful. But we were in the presence of God, and I will never forget that gathering in. And I hoped that I could be a leader that could remember to gather in.
Oh yeah. So that was the assembly I was a yad at. And I remember, when we met as yads, they highlighted that moment, and they said, this is a moment that the church could have divided, but that action didn't permit us to divide. We are more united now than ever. And we were like, oh, wow. So yes, I share that moment with you, Fran.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I was a TSAD, and that is why I've not missed a General Assembly. And it's probably why I'm a mid-council leader now.
Talk about emotional moments. This is very emotional. Yes.
I think for me, I have to say it was my first General Assembly that I attended. And that was probably, I can't remember, 15, 16 years ago. I can't remember. But I had been working in a church for many years prior to that, involved in Seattle Presbytery. And for anyone who knows the demographic makeup of my presbytery, I am a very, very small minority in my presbytery. And I think what was overwhelming to me was walking into the plenary, the opening plenary, and my first thought was, oh my God, there are Black and brown faces in the PCUSA. And I suddenly felt like I could connect. It was a very emotional moment for me. I had not had that experience prior to attending a General Assembly, and immediately glommed myself onto a group of Puerto Rican leaders and said, "My people, I can speak my language." It just reminded me of the fullness of what the church is and has always been called to be. And I was so glad to have found it.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
That's beautiful. Okay, so what tips would you give to mid-council leaders who will lead training events as we approach the General Assembly for their commissioner and advisory delegates for the very first time?
If they have never done it before, I would urge them to find people within their mid-councils who have done it before.
Yes.
And avail themselves of that experience and wisdom. Sometimes the best work that a mid-council leader can do is not the work of being an expert, but rather a work of knowing who the experts are and gathering them together into a common space so that those experts can be of service to the folks who need that expertise.
So Forrest is right about that. So even though I'm doing training for Lake Michigan, how it's turned out is we just invite everyone. So it's been all the presbyteries of the Synod. So it's not Synod sponsored, but that's what it is. And we partner with one another, with folks who've been doing it longer than I have or are brand new. And we are trying to talk about what it is that we all feel like, ways that we should resource together and using that wisdom in the room. That's what I mean, Ken Hockenberry, the whole reason I do orientation in the first place is because when I was that TSAD, Ken Hockenberry oriented me for General Assembly. Mm-hmm. And it was so helpful. And it's like, oh, I'm always going to do that.
That's fabulous.
I would agree with Forrest and Fran. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable or don't feel like you're as informed or knowledgeable, by all means, reach out, ask others. I have found the Office of General Assembly to be super helpful. I mean, I don't want to get into the particulars of parliamentary procedure. I lean on my stated clerk, but I also call OGA and say, you know, give me some tips. Give me some things that you think are really important for me to pass along to my commissioners so that they can be effective. We should never try to go at it alone. We're connectional after all, aren't we? Amen. Yes.
And I really hope that commissioners who are ruling elders and teaching elders who are new to engaging in work like this, actually feel comfortable going to their mid-council leaders. That is why you have mid-council leaders. They're there for you. So don't hesitate to ask.
Well, and I'll add one other thing, a tip that I want to say is, and we brought it up earlier, is you got to have a relationship with these folks.
Yes.
You need to know them. Get to know them. If you don't know them yet, you still have time. Take them out for a cup of coffee. Get to know where they're coming from, what their faith journey has been like, and their history with the church, and what do they love to do? What do they feel that they're good at? What are they afraid of, or what's overwhelming to them? Mm-hmm. Just so that you have a relationship to build upon.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you so much for the experiences that you have shared with us, and definitely the ideas and the tips, not only for our mid-council leaders, colleagues, but also for those commissioners who would like to listen to this and know more. Thank you so much for everything that you have shared today.
Well, thanks. It's been good talking with you here this morning. Blessings on your work in the next couple of months. I know you're going to be working about as hard as a CPA during April does, but I look forward to seeing the fruits of your labor when I get to Salt Lake City.
Amen. I think with Amen. more numbers than a CPA, probably.
It's a pleasure to be with you all.
It certainly is. See you at GA, I hope.
Yes, see you there.
Absolutely.
When we reflect on our Constitution in the General Principles of Councils in G3.01, it starts saying, "The mutual interconnection of the Church through its councils is a sign of unity of the Church." In G3.0501, it also tells us that the General Assembly is a sign of that unity of the Church. Unity seems to be the main topic when we talk about the bodies of the church. We reflect also on Paul's words that we are all members, and everything we each do, it's important for that body. So as a connectional church and a church based in unity, we are to come together to connect with our past and to connect with our future, to talk about what divides us and to embrace us in what unites us. When we prepare to any event where God has called us, we need to greet each other and we need to listen. We need to train and we need to teach, because in the body of Christ and in the body of the PCUSA, our church is designed like that. And the kingdom of God is designed like that. We may come from the west, east, north, or south, but in the end, we will meet each other along the road. Thank you for being with us in one more episode. Thank you for being with us on Along the Road Encounter.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.